This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming tonight. Before we even begin, we have ready the new cover of Tzipisel Yeshua, which is imminent for publication. I have a black and white copy here, but it's going to be in a beautiful blue with gold. And it's nearly up to publication. If anybody still would like to participate in its publication, you could still join us. And there's even one big dedication full page available in the front of the Sefer that is available. If anybody would like to be Mishtatef, this is last call. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoichet to the Gula Shlema Bekarayv. Okay.
Recording in progress.
Welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abam. We're continuing our Shiur Man Sefer Bamidbar. Shiur Man Sefer Bamidbar are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim Mishpachta, Leiloi Nishnas, Hashem Eliezer ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakim, Rivka Bas Tuvi Halevi, Rav David ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Sefer Bamidbar is also sponsored by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yasulovsky, Leiloi Nishmas, his father Shapsi ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, and Refuah Shleima to Yaffa Malka Esther Bas Leia. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi in honor of the Bas Mitzvah of his daughter, Devorah Bas Eliana. Tizku Legadla Latoira L'chubal Masam Tovim. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Mrs. Brenda Strassfeld in memory of her husband, Avraham Baruch Ben Yaakov Yehoshua, on his first yard site tonight, the 23rd of Sivan, which is a very special day in the calendar, which is the day that Hashem brought the Yeshua of Purim. So on this occasion, we wish that her husband, Shama, have an aliyah, be a male siyosha for the whole family, ad bias gal tzedek. Tonight's shir is also dedicated by Tony Tishyuba, Refu Shlema for Avram Yeshua ben Sarah Imenu, Aishav Refu Shlema, Bekarov Mamish. Okay, we're going to discuss a question that has been plaguing me for many, many years. And I don't know, I had a kernel of an idea many years ago. Maybe I didn't have the courage to say it, or maybe it just wasn't developed enough. But here we go. The parsha begins with the episode of the Meraglim. Rashi immediately is bothered. What is the reason for the juxtaposition of the parsha of the Meraglim to the Lashon Hara of Miriam? The end of Behaloscha, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Parsha Shalach begins with the episode of the Meraglim. Says Rashi, Lamanismacha parshas Meraglim leparshas Miriam. Why does the Torah juxtapose the parsha of the Meraglim to Miriam? Why? Lefi shalaksa aliske diba, because Miriam was struck in for her slandering her brother Shadibra b'Achia. She criticized Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it wasn't really severe criticism. She just equated him to the other Nevi'im, but still she undermined Moshe Rabbeinu. And she was stricken. So therefore, Klal Yisrael should have learned a lesson from Miriam about the severity of Lashon Hara, Urasham Halalu, and these wicked people, Ra'u, they saw what happens to someone who speaks Lashon Hara, V'loi Lakhu Musar, and they did not take rebuke. So this is a question I've had for many, many years. What exactly was the rebuke they should have learned from Miriam? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a law in the Torah, Loiseilech Racha Ba'amecha, you know how to speak Lashon Hara about another person, about another Jew. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that you can't speak Lashon Hara about inanimate objects, about earth, about dirt, about stones. They didn't speak Lashon Hara. You know, we're so used to, they slandered Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we know you shouldn't slander Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful land. We can't say anything bad about it. But is that Lashon Hara? I thought Lashon Hara is Bein Adam L'Chaveray. If Lashon Hara is Bein Adam L'Chaveray, how do you learn out, you can't speak Lashon Hara about a person? Let's learn out you can't speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So now what? So does that mean you can't speak Lashon Hara about a lulav? I don't lulav him, you get pricked on the, I mean, is that chas v'sham, you can't say anything bad. Are you now to speak Lashon Hara about mitzvahs? And could you extrapolate based on the fact that they spoke about a person who is human, who has feelings, that you can't speak about an inanimate object? Nowhere in the whole Torah is there any basis that you can't speak Lashon Hara about earth, about land, or even Eretz Yisrael. So what Musar should they have learned from the fact that Miriam was struck in by speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu? This is a question that I've been thinking about for a very long time. What exactly is the lesson they should have learned from the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke? And the Sefer Cheshev HaEfod asks this question. And he says, well, maybe the problem with what they said was not that they spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael, but they spoke bad about Hashem. Because if it's not a good land, then what? Hashem took us to Adam Mitzrayim to bring us to a land that consumes its inhabitants. And if you can't speak Lashon Hara about man, certainly you can't speak Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that true? Is that a Kavachomer? Could you really make that Kavachomer? Can you say if you can't speak Lashon Hara about man, you can't speak Lashon Hara about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe a human being has feelings, so maybe it doesn't apply to Hashem. Or even if it does apply to Hashem, there are many times throughout the 40 years in the desert, Klal Yisrael said, Ribbono Shel Moshe, what are you doing? You're bringing us to the Midbar to kill us? We should have died in Mitzrayim. Do we ever find one time that Bnei Yisrael were criticized? Oh, they spoke Lashon Hara about Hashem, that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim to bring them into a Midbar that consumes its inhabitants. Nowhere was Klal Yisrael ever criticized by when they complained for Lashon Hara. All of a sudden now, when they're complaining about Eretz Yisrael, it's considered Lashon Hara. So I think it's difficult to say that the problem with speaking about Eretz Yisrael is that they were slandering Hashem, because at any time Klal Yisrael complained, in effect, they're slandering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we need to really study these words of Chazal. What exactly is the problem with what the Meraglim did that they spoke about Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is not a person. Eretz Yisrael is not a person. Even though...
But all the times in the Midbar, they didn't slander Eretz Yisrael.
They slandered Hashem. So I'm saying if the problem with speaking about Eretz Yisrael is that they're criticizing Hashem, been there, done that, you know. They said we don't have food, we don't have water. Aren't they slandering Hashem? Why'd you bring us to this rotten place? Okay, we begin as follows. And the journey to the destination we're going to take today is very unusual. The sources that are going to get us there, you know, are definitely of note. If you take note of how we will get to our ultimate destination, we'll start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We know Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayechi. He says to Shimon and Levi, Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheiroi sehem b'soidam al tavoi nafshi b'kalam al teichad kevoidi. B'soidam al tavoi nafshi, Rashi says, when the story of Zimri happens, and we say that it was committed by Zimri ben Soloi Lamate Shimon, Yaakov says, leave me out. Don't say Ben Yaakov. Don't mention my name. And when it says by Koirach, B'soidam al tavoi nafshi, uv'kahalam al teichad kevoidi, when it says, Vayikach Koirach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi, what doesn't it say? Ben Yaakov. So the way Rashi learns Yaakov Avinu is saying, leave me out of the episode of Zimri, leave me out of the episode of Koirach. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin says something different. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, yes, when Yaakov says, uv'kahalam al teichad kevoidi, Yaakov is saying, leave me out of Koirach. But when he says, b'soidam al tavai nafshi, he's saying, leave me out of the Meraglim. Leave me out of the Meraglim. What does it mean, leave me out of the Meraglim? I guess it means, Lamate Ruvain, Lamate Shimon, Lamate Yehuda. And it doesn't say, Levnei Yaakov. So the Marsha has the following obvious question. Okay, Yaakov doesn't want to be mentioned in the episode of the Meraglim, but who is he talking to? He's talking to Shimon and Levi. Levi was not part of the Meraglim. So why of all the Shvatim would he tell, he say, Levi, I don't want to be part of the Meraglim. Levi should say, Dad, I'm not part of the Meraglim. That's the last thing you should be mentioning to me. Why are you talking to me about the Meraglim? So ask the Marsha, according to Rashi, that it's referring to the episode of Zimri. So Yaakov is saying to Shimon and Levi, to Shimon, Shimon, don't mention me in the episode of Zimri ben Salu. But now that it's referring to the Meraglim, Levi was not part of the Meraglim. So says the Marsha, I guess you have to say that even though Levi was not part of the Meraglim, they must have had a Kabbalah that of all the 12 Meraglim, the chief of staff was from Shimon. So Yaakov is telling Shimon, yeah, I know what's in store for you. I know what you're up to. Leave me out of it. The Marshal says, V'ulai Kabbalah hayabiyada. Maybe they had a tradition, Shahamaragel Mishevet Shimon, that the spy from Shevet Shimon, Hu Haya Bal Hamaisa Benam. He was the main character of the Meraglim. Says the Marshal, we don't have any evidence. We don't know of such a tradition. But the fact that Yaakov addressed Shimon and Levi and he says, Shimon and Levi, leave me out of the Meraglim. We know Levi was not part of the Meraglim. Shimon must have been the main guy. So in the Sefer Divrei Yael of the Satmar Rebbe, he asks, but we don't have any evidence that Shimon was a worse spy than anybody else. Furthermore, they were all punished equally. Never did Shimon get a worse punishment for the Meraglim than anybody else. So what would the answer to the Marshal's question be? Why is Yaakov addressing Shimon and Levi and saying to Shimon and Levi, leave me out of the story of the Meraglim? So here we go. You ready for the clincher? We have to go back to Parshas Miketz. Yosef encounters the brothers. Vayizkar Yosef eis hachalaymois asher cholam lohem vayoymer aleihem miragilim atem. Lerois esar vasaretz basem. Yosef's first encounter with the brothers. He says, you're miraglim! Huh? Miraglim? I mean, that's a triggering word. Meraglim atem. I mean, we don't really have that word too often. We have it twice, actually. We have it in this week's parasha, and we have it in Miketz. And the brothers say, no! Vayomru elav lo yadoini v'avadecho bo lishbarochel. Kulanu b'nei yishachod nachnu. Lo yhoyu avadecho meraglim. We're not meraglim. So what is this? Why are they being accused of being Meraglim? And why are they denying it? So, just based on these two questions and other questions, the Satmar Rebbe develops the following approach to understanding the parasha. And we're going to see, it sounds so novel, I think there has to be basis for it. We're going to see if we could find earlier source. And I think it's going to bring us to a very interesting idea. Yosef tells the brothers, you're Meraglim. Whenever you see a sin, even much later on, there's always a source. There's always a root of the sin. So if the Jewish people sinned by slandering the land of Israel, there must be a source, a shoresh of that sin. Do you know what the shoresh of the sin of the Meraglim was? The shoresh of the sin of the Meraglim must have been Mechiras Yosef. The sale of Yosef somehow is the source of the sin of the Meraglim, which is very interesting. So Yosef tells the brothers, hey brothers, you may not realize this. You may think all you did is you sold me down to Egypt. You think it's a small thing. Yeah, we got into a little fight. You sold me down to Egypt. I want you to know, Meraglim atem! You think it's small. What this will lead to is the spy slandering the land of Israel and the ultimate exile of the Jewish people. Don't think you're going to get away with, for a small act that you think that I wanted to be the king, so you had hard feelings, so you sold me down to Messiah. You need to know that this little incipient root, this will ultimately flourish into a terrible sin. Meraglim atem! And the Satmar Rebbe brings many proofs that Chazal always looked to trace the origins of an Avera back to many generations before. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers, you, my dear brothers, through your selling me, have caused the act of the Meraglim. Now, how? Mechiras Yosef caused the sin of the spies? So I think he says an idea that because of Mechiras Yosef, it downgraded the level of Klal Yisrael to the point where they never recovered from it. So even when they spent 410 years in Mitzrayim or 210 years in Mitzrayim and then 40 years in the Midbar and then 440 years before the first Beis HaMikdash was built, and 410 years during the first Beis HaMikdash. By the way, you know, the Baal HaTurim says something incredible. The Baal HaTurim says, you know, Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948. The Torah was given 500 years later in the year 2448. Chi Basam, Hashem's love for us. 40 years in the Midbar. 440 years before the first Beis HaMikdash. 410 years of the first Beis HaMikdash. And then exile. We were exiled in the year 3338. Shlach. That's the remez. Shlach. Because of Shlach, because of the Meraglim, we were exiled in the year Shlach. 3000, Shlach, 338. That's the Baal HaTurim. So the Samar Rebbe says that it must be Yosef is telling the brothers, you know, you don't realize this. And when he said these words to them, they didn't even understand what he meant when he said, you are Meraglim, that you're the cause of the sin of the Meraglim. But Yosef understood that somehow the root of the sin of the Meraglim could be traced back to the dramatic decline that was brought to the family of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because they sold Yosef. It ultimately led to the sin of the Meraglim.
What does that got to do with Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael?
Okay, so question number one, David's asking, okay, it sounds nice, but how could we trace back the sin of the spies who slandered Eretz Yisrael to the fact that the brothers sold Yosef? What does one thing have to do with the other? It's just a general thing. They did an Avera, so we were downgraded, so we're on a lower Madrega, so we were susceptible to more sin. It sounds very vague. It sounds very general. That's one question. Now, says the Samar Rebbe, this would answer the Marshal's question. Why? Because we asked, why is Yaakov Avinu telling Levi, who is not part of selling of slandering Eretz Yisrael, he was not one of the Meraglim. Levi did not send a spy. Why is Yaakov telling the one guy who didn't send a spy, hey, I don't understand. Yaakov says, I don't want to be part of your sin. Don't mention me in the Chedah Meraglim. Levi say, I'm not part of the Meraglim. The answer is, yeah, he was part of the Meraglim. He was one of the main causes of the Meraglim. Why? Because since Shimon and Levi sold Yosef, they were the ones who caused the Meraglim. So Yaakov knows. Levi's going to say, no, I didn't send one of the Meraglim. Okay, Yaakov says, I know you didn't send it, but you caused that Klal Yisrael would send it. Okay? So again, but how exactly do we trace back the sin of the Chedah Meraglim to Mechiras Yosef? What does one thing have to do with another? And it would make me feel more comfortable, say it nicely, it would make me feel more comfortable if there was an earlier source for this monumental idea that the sin of the Chedah Meraglim is rooted in Mechiras Yosef. Like, what evidence is there? Just the words, Meraglim Atim, is that enough of a proof? You know, for great people, yes, it's enough proof. But for little people like me, we need to be able to give more of a basis, more of a support to this idea that the sin of the Chedah Meraglim is rooted in the sin of Mechiras Yosef. Again, yes, the words Meraglim Atem seem to indicate there's some connection. The fact, as the Marsha asks, why is Yaakov telling Levi, I don't want to be part of the Meraglim, indicates that even though Levi wasn't part of the Meraglim, he somehow caused the sin of the Meraglim. So Baruch Hashem, I found in the Chida, in the Rosh David, the Chida writes that in his delightful explanation of the psukim in Parshas Miketz, he wants to explain the psukim in Miketz, what Yosef tells the brothers, Meraglim Atem. Now, a couple years ago, who remembers? Do you remember, even though that there's an opinion of the Yushalmi that there were 24 spies, do you remember that shir? That there weren't 12 spies, there were 24 spies. We gave a shir, 24 spies. Do you remember this? Sound vaguely familiar? You got to listen to it. Because we learn out minyan from the Meraglim. So according to that, the minyan would have to be very large. You know, you wouldn't need a center. You would need a 20th, you know, or a 24th. So the Chida explains this idea that by quoting the Arizal. The Arizal says that because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef, Klal Yisrael, ultimately, we're never worthy to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So again, that itself, to me, is an early support for the idea of the Sa'am Rebbe that there is, that the sin of Mechiras Yosef caused the Avera of the Meraglim. Moreover, the Arizal says, actually the Chidal doesn't quote the Ari himself, he quotes Gurei Ho'ari. Gurei Ari are the lion cubs, are the students of the Ari. That if the Meraglim would have spoken about the praise of Eretz Yisrael, they would have rectified Mechiras Yosef. Why? If they would have said, yeah, the grapes there, they're so juicy, they're so delicious, they're so tasty. Oh, then they're allowed to, that's their correction for selling the brother. Like, what does one thing have to do with the other? How is that a tikkun for Mechiras Yosef? But that's what the Gurei Ho'ari teach. Says the Chida, now we understand the teaching of the Arizal, that why does it have to say, Lemate Ruvain, Lemate Shimon, who cares what mata they come from? The Ari teaches that the neshamos of the Shvatim accompanied the Meraglim to try to steer them right, because they knew that because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef, it caused the Cheira Meraglim, so they were trying to, so to speak, you know, to limit the damage. They were trying to, you know, to minimize the damage that they caused. They didn't want their sin, so they accompanied the Meraglim to try to inspire them to speak well about Eretz Yisrael. However, now we understand, Yosef tells his brothers, yo, brothers, do you understand? By you selling me here, you know what's going to happen? Meraglim atem! You're going to actually be accompanying the Meraglim when they go down to Eretz Yisrael. Because you sold me, so the Jews are going to sin with the Meraglim, and you are Meraglim because you're going to go with them. Now, the thing is, that Arizal says that even though the brothers accompanied the Meraglim to try to prevent them from speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael, the brothers said, wait a second, but Yosef, you're going to come with us. Look in the words that the brothers say to him, Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. We're all the sons of one guy. You, Yosef, are going to come with us, because the pasuk says, Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe, right? So Yosef also is going to come. Actually, the way the Chida explains it is that because Yosef accompanied Menashe, so we're all part of this. Furthermore, the brothers say we're not Meraglim. Why? Because even though we're going to go with them, but as soon as we realize that they're going to speak bad about Eretz Yisrael, we come back. That's, the Arizal says what it means. Vayelchu. Vayelchu means they left. Who left? Right? You remember the pasuk? Vayelchu. They went. Vayavoyu, when they came. The Arizal says, Vayelchu, they went. The brothers who were accompanying the Meraglim went back to Moshe Rabbeinu. They left. They said, no. These guys are hopeless. We are not taking part in this. So they left. And Vayavoyu, the Meraglim came back. So Vayelchu is going on the souls of the Shvatim, and Vayavoyu is going on the Meraglim themselves. So they tell Yosef, we're not Meraglim. So Yosef says, no, I didn't say that the problem was that you will actually badmouth Eretz Yisrael. I didn't mean you're going to be Moitzi Shemran Eretz Yisrael like the Meraglim. What I meant was, you're going to walk with them, so at least you're going to start them off on their sin. And then they responded, wait a second, we're 12 brothers, one of us is missing. So Yosef says, exactly! So because of that guy who's missing, meaning me, that's why I'm accusing you of being Meraglim, because ultimately you're going to accompany the Meraglim down to Mitzrayim. So I think this is a very strong basis to the idea that the sin of the Meraglim is rooted in Mechiras Yosef. We still don't know how exactly. We still don't know how selling Yosef down to Egypt has anything to do with bad-mouthing Eretz Yisrael. Right? Could you see any connection between selling your brother down to Mitzrayim and speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael? What does one thing have to do with the other? But at least the idea of the Divrei Yoh, the Sa'am Rebbe, I think is rooted in the Chida, which is ultimately rooted in the Arizal, okay, in the Gurei Ho'ari. By the way, I saw in the Sefer Drashos Beis Yishai of Reb Fisher, he says something amazing. when the brothers come back to Yaakov and they say, you know, Yosef's alive. So you remember what Yaakov Avinu says? He says, "Kuchu mizimras haaretz ma'atziri v'loit batnim ushkedim." Take from the praise of Eretz Yisrael. Why is Yaakov telling his kids to bring to Yosef from the praise of Eretz Yisrael? Yaakov knows that because they sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim, it will cause the sin of the Meraglim, which is disparaging Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was hoping by engendering this appreciation for the praise of Eretz Yisrael in his children, by telling them to take Mizimras Ha'aretz, this would somehow be a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. But still, we're not really clear, what does Mechiras Yosef have to do with the Chet HaMeraglim? So let's start like this. You know, we're learning now every morning Sefer Chafetz Chaim. By the way, if you have nothing to do between the hour of 9 and 9:30, you could join us from 9 to 9:15, Monday through Thursday. We learn Mishneh Berurah. It's on Zoom. We're learning now Hilchos. We're up to Ashrei Yuval Letzion. We're in Chelek Beis. Then at 9:15, we do Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And tomorrow is a very good day to join, because today was the longest Chafetz Chaim in history. And after today, it's smooth sailing. It's very short. I'm not going to tell you how long it was today. I'll just tell you tomorrow is probably less than a fifth of the time that it took today. It's Chafetz Chaim Yoimi, and you're welcome to join us on Zoom at 9:15. Anyway, you know, the Chafetz Chaim says, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Elias, Shvichas Damim. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. So Chafetz Chaim says, no. It doesn't mean Sinas Chinam. It's not possible Hashem would destroy the Beis HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam. It's not severe enough of a sin. Chafetz Chaim says what it means is the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hara, that is a result of Sinas Chinam. And the Chafetz Chaim brings proofs, because there are other Gemaras that say Lashon Hara is equal to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Elias, and Shvichas Damim. So says the Eretz Tzvi, the Kuzhaglover Goyin. Kuzhaglover Goyin was the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin after a Meir Shapiro. Shailas Sechuas Eretz Tzvi, Reb Aryeh Tzvi Frumer. If you look in the Shailas Sechuas Eretz Tzvi, we found one tshuva from my great-grandfather, who was a Rav in Sachachov. He was a young man. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote to his Rebbe the Eretz Tzvi. Shailas Sechuas Eretz Tzvi. He says like this. The Arizal tells us that when Yosef told the brothers, "Meraglim atem," he meant, "You're the cause of the Chet HaMeraglim." So says the Eretz Tzvi, how are the brothers cause of the Chet HaMeraglim? So he says a very simple idea. The idea is, why did the brothers sell Yosef? Because they hated him. Sinas Chinam. Now, Sinas Chinam, left unchecked, will ultimately develop into a much more severe sin of Lashon Hara. So Yosef says to the brothers, you think you just did a small Avera, you just hated me, this tiny little Avera. You should know that Sinas Chinam ultimately will develop into the greater sin of Lashon Hara. Meraglim atem. You think it's a small Avera, it's just Sinas Chinam. No, one day it's going to develop into something really terrible. What is it? Lashon Hara. I would ask on the Eretz Tzvi that I think their sinah developed into something pretty severe by itself. Namely, they kidnapped and they sold their brother. That's also punishable by death. You know, kidnapping and selling somebody is a severe sin. So like, we don't really have to look down the road in the hundreds of years. The selling Yosef itself was pretty severe. So again, there are a few questions on the table before we offer the bombshell of the night. The question, again, is that the critique on the Meraglim is, you saw Miriam speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, why do you speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean, Since when are you not to talk bad about Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is land. It's earth. It's dirt. I understand. There are many mitzvahs you could only keep on this dirt. There are many mitzvahs you can only keep on this land. But what basis is there that if you can't talk about a person named Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't talk about Eretz Yisrael? Furthermore, why is Yaakov Avinu telling Levi, I don't want to be part of the Meraglim? Levi wasn't part of the Meraglim. And why is Yosef telling the brothers, Meraglim Atem? And I think this brings us to a very important idea. Probably something we realize somewhat intuitively. And that is the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. If somebody would come to you and say something bad about your mother, would you take it personally? Of course, you better take it personally. Somebody came and spoke bad about your spouse, would you take it personally? It's your job to take it personally. It's you. So, what is the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people? There's a very interesting pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel is talking about a certain war. And it says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yedalet, Pasuk Chafei, V'chol ha'aretz bo'u v'yar. The whole land came to the forest. V'hi devash al pnei asada. V'yavoy ha'am el ayar. And the people came to the forest. What does it mean the whole land came to the forest? The land got up and walked to the forest? So the Targum says, V'chol am ha'aretz. It means the people. But it doesn't say the people. It says the land. So it's pointed out over here that clearly it's alluding to the idea that the land is the people. You know, people have a connection to where they live. You know, let's say you grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is so beautiful. It's a beautiful place. It's charming. It's beautiful gardens. And the air is clear and crisp. You know, it's just a wonderful place to grow up. Because I grew up there. There's no more beautiful place in the world. But still, even though a person has an affinity to where they live, the where you live is still just a place where you happen to reside. Not so Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, in a sense, are like one. The same way we say that Yisrael v'ayraisa v'kut shabrichu chad, just like we say that the Jewish people and the Torah are one, the Navi seems to be telling us that the Eretz Yisrael is our land, the land of the Jewish people, which is the destiny of the Jewish people, which Hashem created for Klal Yisrael. Hashem created for Klal Yisrael to live there and to be Mekayim Mitzvos there. The land is part of their national identity. In other words, the land is part of the nation called Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is part of the national identity of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, I would argue that if you slander Eretz Yisrael, you are slandering the Jewish people. You're slandering the nation. You're not slandering an inanimate object. If you can't speak Lashon Hara about one individual, we know how severe it is to speak Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. I mean, the Ran tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished very severely when he said, Shimuna Hamoirim, listen up, you rebels. What's wrong? They were all rebels. Yankel was a rebel. Beryl was a rebel. Fivel was a rebel. Yeah, each one by themselves is a rebel. But as a nation, the Amich, as a nation, Kulam Tzadikim. No, not every Jew is a big tzaddik. That is absolutely false, you know? No, it's not true. Chafetz Chaim writes explicitly, it's not true. Not every Jew is a big tzaddik. The Jewish people as a nation, the Amich, as an entity, is Kulam Tzadikim. Don't call me tzaddik. You know, people say tzaddik. Tzaddik, by the way, if somebody comes to you and says tzaddik, that means they either want to insult you or they want to argue with you. You know, or they have something, some beef with you. You know, don't call me tzaddik. You know, I have a name. You know, the Jewish people as a nation are tzaddikim, as an entity are tzaddikim. And part of that national entity is Eretz Yisrael. In fact, in the Divrei Shloima, Reb Shloima Friedman of Chartkov, he brings an idea that the same way every Jew is connected to a particular letter of the Torah, and the same way Hashem waited to give the Torah to 600,000 Jews, because I think we said over from the Abir Yaakov recently, that why didn't Hashem give the Torah to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Because the Torah is inherently connected to the Jewish people. So we had to wait until we were 600,000 so that the 600,000 letters be given to 600,000 Jews. Likewise, each Jew has a particular connection to a piece of Eretz Yisrael. The same way every Jew has a certain ancestral inheritance of a letter of the Torah, every Jew has an ancestral inheritance of a chelak of Eretz Yisrael. So when the Navi says, V'chol ha'aretz ba'ovayar, the land came to the forest, it means the people, but the nation of Klal Yisrael is the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's part of their nationhood. In other words, that's part of their national identity. And if you badmouth Eretz Yisrael, you're badmouthing the people. Maybe you could, I don't know, I'm not sure. Are you allowed to speak Lashon Hara about an Esrog? Let's say somebody said, oh, that Esrog, it's an ugly Esrog. Are you over Lashon Hara? I don't know, I don't want to say it. I'm afraid to say, but maybe there is no Israel Lashon Hara. But Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael is part of the personality of Klal Yisrael. If you badmouth Eretz Yisrael, then you're saying the land that is destined for the future and the present and the history of Klal Yisrael, it's bad, then you're disparaging the Jewish people. You're disparaging Klal Yisrael. So the Meraglim needed to learn a lesson, because when Miriam spoke about Moshe, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to all 600,000 Jews. Look what happened when you spoke to someone who's equal to 600,000 Jews. All the more so if you speak bad about Eretz Yisrael, which is all 600,000 Jews. It is the identity of the Jewish people.
So this could have been the whole shiur. You could have started at the beginning. Why Mary, you know...
I need to fill up a good 40 minutes, okay? One second. No, yes, we did. I'm not finished. No. Okay. Every minute is accounted for here, okay? By the way, in the Sefer Bechar Shar, or Baruch Shar, he brings openly an idea. He says clearly that Ki Yisrael Shayochim L'Eretz Yisrael, V'Eretz Yisrael V'Yisrael Chadhu. Also, if you look at number 15, he also brings this idea that just like Yisrael v'Eiraisa chad, Yisrael v'Eretz Yisrael are also chad. And just like Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, so the aretz that's nasan levnei adam, in other words, by disparaging Eretz Yisrael, you're literally disparaging the identity of Klal Yisrael. So there's an inyan of Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is part of the national makeup of Klal Yisrael. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is not like an external thing. Oh, it's a place that if you happen to be standing there, there's a din that you're chayiv in this mitzvah. It's not like just like a halacha, an outside halacha. If I stand here, I could do the mitzvah. If I don't stand there, I can't do the mitzvah. No, it's part of the essence of the Jewish people. And if you badmouth it, if you disparage it, you're badmouthing the Jewish people. You ready? Okay, now we're going to just tweak it a little bit. So that means the Jewish people, their national identity is the Klal Yisrael and the land that Hashem gave them. And each Shevet has their predestined land and their predestined share. What would be if I took a Shevet and I say, okay, it's very nice, you're living here in Eretz Yisrael. I am now removing you and I'm sending you down through our dear friends Yishmael to the land of Egypt. What would you say the effects of that on the nationhood of the Jewish people and their relationship with Eretz Yisrael? What would you say that the effects of that are? If let's say we took one of the 12 Shvatim and we uprooted him and we say, okay, give us your coat, we're throwing you in the pit, we're going to tie you up, we're going to remove you from the land. What do you mean you're going to remove you from the land? me and the land, you know, that's my identity, that's our nationhood. 12 Shvatim in the land of Eretz Yisrael. No, not you. We're cutting you off. We're saying that the land doesn't need you. We're separating you from Eretz Yisrael. So is there any, so to speak, more disastrous indictment against sort of a piece of Eretz Yisrael by saying, you know, we don't need this. We could take the people who are fundamentally intertwined in the land and remove them. So what are we saying about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? If you remove a brother who's living with his father in Eretz Yisrael, and we send him packing through the Yishma'ilim to the land of Egypt, to Ervas Ha'aretz, what are we saying about Eretz Yisrael? You know what we're saying? Yosef says, I have choice words for you. Meraglim atem. What you did to me by separating me from the land and the rest of the Jewish people, cutting me off, you're saying that Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are not destined for each other. You're saying to an entire Shevet, look, Yosef was a Shevet. You're saying the Shevet, no, this Shevet's destiny does not need the land of Israel. It could do fine and well living in Ervas Haaretz. Yeah, Ervas Haaretz is good for you, Yosef. In other words, the 11 Shvatim said, for you, Yosef, you could live in the most degenerate society. You could thrive. You'll thrive as a Jew. You'll have yeshivas there in Ervas Haaretz. You'll have kollelim. You'll have Jewish institutions in Mitzrayim, because, you know, Jews could thrive anywhere. You don't need to be in Eretz Yisrael. Jews and Israel could be separated. That's what the brothers said to Yosef. Yosef said, I want to tell you something. What you did to me, Meraglim atem. That's the root of the sin of the spies, because the Cheir HaMeraglim was the fact that they cried over the land that is the destiny of the Jewish people. You know, the Maral teaches that tears are the deepest expression of emotion. And if you cry that you're going to get something, that means you're so fundamentally disconnected from it, you don't deserve to have it. So when the Meraglim caused Klal Yisrael to cry that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, okay, you obviously are unconnected, you're disconnected from Eretz Yisrael, you can't have it. Yosef says, when you disconnected me, Shevet Yosef, from Eretz Yisrael, you should know, it was only one Shevet, it was only one of us, but that was the beginning of the end. This was the ultimate cause of the sin of the Meraglim. Meraglim atem, where ultimately the Jewish people disconnected the entire nation from Eretz Yisrael. And I think this is, if you think about it, a very profound approach to understand how Mechiras Yosef ultimately led, and it could be considered a root cause of the sin of the Meraglim. And therefore Yaakov Avinu could say to Levi, when they sin with the Meraglim, leave me out of it. Levi says, what do you mean? I didn't send out a Meraglim. No, you did. You started it off. You took Chu, your brother, Shevet Yosef, you took him out of the land. You said, yeah, you'll do great. You'll do great as a Jew in Ervas Haaretz. That was the beginning of the sin of the Meraglim. Says Yosef, Meraglim Atem. So we learn from the fact that the Torah deems and considers it Lashon Hara to speak about Eretz Yisrael. From here we learn that Eretz Yisrael is part of the national identity and personality of the Jewish people. And the more we understand that, the more Eretz Yisrael will become part of our destiny, and we should be zoicha that destiny be realized. B'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Thank you.
So what's the fetch back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam, that they didn't learn from?
That if they spoke bad about Moshe, who's only equal to 600 to all of Klal Yisrael, certainly Eretz Yisrael, which is, so to speak, is the identity of all Klal Yisrael, there would be a problem of Lashon Hara. Okay?
Recording stopped.
Hatzlach Rabba. Kotar. Marav.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.